Just like every person has their own individuality, so it is with a community, and we're celebrating that throughout the coming weeks. And today's show, we're all about things like aviation and rowing clubs and novel business ideas. It's all happening. It's all here. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Caps, toys to throw your money at, car stereos, car alarms, things for all you soccer moms, detail and diamond play, parts to fix your tailgate. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far. Exterior accessories, gift kits for your mud needs, mud tires, nice wheels, everyone will get a deal. Window tinting, that's a must. Come on out and visit us. Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
So there you are, my friend, once again, listening attentively, as you do every week, while we bring you the very best of Tallahassee's conversations. Tallahassee is talking, you know. Talking with you and me and talking with one another. People around town who have these remarkable conversations about remarkable things to do. It happens that when you have very clever people who are in love with where they are in life and this town, some very cool things happen. So our mantra is very cool people doing very cool things. So today's episode happens to be all about the rather odd or lesser known aspects of flight training, courtesy of our good friends at Florida Aviation Center. This would be Faith Drury and Lacey Smith. These two met in class years ago, about 6 years ago, I think, 5-6 years ago. Formed a bit of a friendship and began asking some of the same questions about the local business community, especially as it relates to flight training. And had the wherewithal to say, well, heck, let's do that. Let's just do it. And they just did. And they keep doing. Rather nicely, thank you very much. We're going to catch up with their progress. Faith Drury will be with us here in the first hour. We'll find out more about what's been going on of late. They've scored a few accolades, I believe, along the way. They've gotten some additional boosts from business groups and some opportunities to further their business just as a business is concerned with all kinds of things that businesses think of, from marketing to money management and, you know, taxes and operational costs, everything that any business has to try to contend with and plan for and strategize about. Well, they're doing that, and they've been benefited by the fact that this here town of ours has become a lot more business friendly, especially for startups and developing businesses. Ain't like it was in the old days where you had to know somebody who knew somebody. There's still that good old boys and girls network out there. Probably always will be. But less so, I think. And more so the people who say, well, I have an idea for this, and they pursue that with stronger intention, I think, and with greater hopes than we've experienced in past decades. So here we are in 2017. While many are asking who we are and what is our brand, I think more of us are saying, well, we don't want that to come about unless we are the ones making those discoveries. So collectively, we can find ourselves in these kinds of conversations with people like Faith Drury. I mean, who are we? Well, we're a town that fostered and encouraged the growth of FL Aviation Center. See, it's not Florida. You realize that, right? It's FL. That's for Faith and Lacey. Hello. But anyway, so FL Aviation Center, yes, they're an example of what happens when somebody has an idea, or in this case, two women who say, why can't we do this? And enough of the people around them say, well, you can do this, and we're going to help you do this. And then create programs and opportunities for education and financing and marketing directions, all kinds of things. We like to celebrate that here because, in fact, we think that as we hear those conversations, yes, we are better able to answer that question. Who are we? We're a town that offers a female-initiated, owned and operated business called FL Aviation Center that has a very unique approach to how training is offered. That you need to know that, and Faith is going to share that with you. Who have a particular focus on younger people, and not just men and women, boys and girls, who want to be pilots, and they want to fly planes. Whether it's commercially or personally, they have interest in flying. So with that focus on younger students, they come up with these really nifty startup jumpstart, they call it, jumpstart camps. One here in the month of June, coming up here in a couple of weeks, and then another one in July. Can only take so many, so there is a threshold. And they have to have so many to get, you know, to get it to roll to justify it. But they get enough students enrolled and they're ready to go. If you need to be one of those students, you need to let them know now. And I mean, real soon. Again, there is an upper limit, and I'm not exactly sure what that is, but it's a small number. Maybe 10, 20 students, maybe 30. But it's going to be a small number, and once they've reached that, that's their cap, okay? So you'll find out more from Faith as we go forward in the hour, and you can get to their website. So that's one neat thing we're doing today. And then I've got in the second hour another very odd or lesser known activity. Happens to be the Capital City Rowing Club, and as a group of rowers, this sport of crew has actually grown in popularity right here in Tallahassee, along with other athletic activities like ultimate that have really taken hold. And in this case, you've got athletes who find themselves inside of this remarkable sport, developing their own personal skills, enjoying the level of competition that's involved, the kind of discipline, the training that's required of them. It's a remarkable enterprise. And it happens that our own Capital City Rowing Club, and I believe there's a Tallahassee Rowing Club, these two have really been doing quite well for themselves. We're going to find out what trophies they've been pulling home lately. And I think for the first time, this Capital City Rowing Club is qualified at a national level in one of the groupings. Again, we're going to find out specifically from their coach, and it's a great conversation. And I've got a couple of folks there who are directly involved or have been directly involved in the club. I think you'll enjoy that. Refreshing to consider that our perspectives are influenced by these kinds of people. That is to say, when you realize that we're more than a college town, we're more than a capital city, we're more than an agrarian economy, were more than simply repeating what our fathers and mothers did a generation ago, that we are creating something very distinct, very unique, very different. And it's not because we're adhering to some top-down, prescribed brand. It is because we are the brand that is to be discovered, and we are the ones making that discovery, you and me. Folks, that's why we do what we do here. Glad that you're a part of it this morning. If you want to find out more about us, check us out online. TallahasseeTalks.com is the website. If you have a guest or a topic you'd like us to consider, you can always email us, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. It's there just for you. Stay with me.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars. On the web at VolcarTally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You remember quite well, I am certain, my friend, that here about 5 years ago, other interesting folks, Faith Drury, Lacey Smith, happened to meet in a class where they were, or a group of people that were pilots out there. We're going to find out exactly that. But so they met at the airport, kind of, you know, became friends. They were the only two women in the class. Was it a class?
It was yes, it was a class.
It was a class, okay. So we have the opportunity then to hear their story as this goes on. They meet and they decide, you know, Tallahassee could really use a training center for pilots who are those who would like to acquire their pilot's license, right? On occasion, we've had the opportunity for these two very fine people to be with us. And once again, I have Faith Drury here to set me straight so I understand exactly what I'm talking about. How are you?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Nice to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a little while. And this is a story that I like tracking to see your progress. It is the kind of story for me personally that I find very inspiring because I am inspired by those who have an idea and say, you know, we could do this or we could do that, but I think I want to do this. And they focus in on the this. That concept then that they begin to nurture and foster in the face of perhaps others saying, you're nuts. What are you, crazy? Why are you doing this? And, you know, in the face of that sort of comment, perhaps, or viewpoint, they persist. And they persist not only beyond, let's say, comments and opinions. They persist beyond more substantial obstacles, you know, the economic, the energy levels, even the focus, the mind, the mental sort of acuity that it requires, the discipline, the determination to say, I am going to do this. You've done that.
We have all of the above. All of the above have certainly been obstacles. And we often say that if we had known going into it how much work went into building a successful business, we would have turned tail and run.
Ah, in fact, I think some do. And at now 5 years, it occurs to me that you certainly have beaten the odds.
Lacey and I are very stubborn people. Once we set our mind to do something, gosh darn, we're going to do that.
You're going to do it. And in that stubbornness, the national, I think, average is 3 years. Most new businesses cease within the first 36 months. You've not been one of those statistics. And in that capacity, you have garnered a lot of attention. I mean, there have been articles in local magazines. There have been news stories written about you. You've been on several radio shows, including this one. You've had an opportunity to now present the services that you offer to a lot of students. So I thought, well, let's have you back and get caught up on some of the latest things that have been happening. I think you've actually, in terms of the business, right, you've been fortunate to be included in some opportunities of late that have to do with just the growth of the business, right?
That's correct. Yeah. And I really attribute this to the Tallahassee environment that supports new businesses. It's an excellent environment here. So we were fortunate enough this year to be selected to participate in a couple of different programs for entrepreneurs. One is through the Jim Rand Institute for Global Entrepreneurship,
right,
which was a course about taking your business to the next level. And that was a fabulous experience, working with the folks at the Jim Rand Institute and learning how many successful global businesses have been built out of Tallahassee. I had no idea.
It's a really remarkable phenomenon. Ron Fraser was here last week, who is one of the entrepreneurs in residence with Jim Rand, and talked of that. In fact, he relayed a story of a young man who was in his class who he sort of lost track of. He is now in California and to date has raised something like $10 million in capital. Those kind of stories happen, and they do happen in Tallahassee. And you're saying it's because of the environment.
I really think so.
You know, the business environment.
I have lived in a lot of places around the country, and I have never found an environment so supportive and so eager to nurture young businesses as Tallahassee is.
Well, that would certainly make all of our chamber members happy to hear that, because I think, among others, folks like members and leadership at the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce have worked pretty hard, I think, to set that table for you. We shouldn't exclude people like KCCI, for that matter, or even Town and Gown and some of these other organizations that have put it in their business plan of their own. We want to foster innovation. We want to foster those who have an idea. And you and Lacey had an idea, and particularly an idea that might even be a bit outside of the ordinary, in that when we talk about flight training, that's typically male-dominated, right?
That's for certain. I mean, as you mentioned in the beginning, when Lacey and I met, honestly, we met because we were the only two women in a room full of 60 or 80 men. Huh. And so we said, we kind of looked around the room and saw another female face and said, I'm going to sit next to her.
Survival. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's right. Interesting enough. And my understanding, too, the kinds of folks that are attracted to aviation are not the shy, retiring type. They tend to be a bit more aggressive.
That is true. There is certainly a stereotype there, although that stereotype may come from the fact that only 6% of the pilot population are women.
Oh.
So if you look at the pilot population in general, 94% is enough to make a stereotype.
I see. Yeah. Okay, there you go.
There are very many women that I have met who do not fit that stereotype
at
all.
And you're working even further to foster this kind of activity among young folks, and I think you've got a couple of camps coming up here in a few weeks. We're going to talk about that. Folks, we've got Faith Drury. She is one half of this rather remarkable business, FL Aviation Center. You can find them online, flaviationcenter.com. And Faith will stay with us. You're going to stay with us?
We've got more to talk about here.
Okay. Folks, don't you go away. I got more. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Have you heard about TallyConnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot. TallyConnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their TallyConnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. TallyConnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back. We're talking with Faith Drury, Florida Aviation Center, teaching all of us who have interest how to fly planes. It's a little bit more complicated than I make it sound, but essentially, if you've had this kind of bug in your mind for some time, this thought that, you know, I really would like to get my pilot's license. Maybe you have some interest in flying commercially. Well, they certainly can push you in that direction. But you also have this, I guess, heart for young folks who, like you, when you were, 14 when you learned to fly?
That's correct.
So tell us about these camps that you have coming up.
Well, I think your use of the word heart is spot on, because that has been a part of our mission from the very beginning, is to pick out ways to support people who have a passion for aviation.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned that I learned to fly when I was 14. I started. And at that time, it was at that age, there's not a lot of support out there for unusual career directions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we wanted to, if you'll allow me to tie this back into the what we were talking about before the break, with the only 6% of the pilot population are female.
Right.
The studies show that there's only a small percentage of women, because most young girls will only go into a career where they have female role models. So we've been, Lacey and I have been thinking a lot about what we can do to both support people who are passionate about aviation, interested in, nurture that early flame, and at the same time be role models for young women. So one of the ways that we are working on this is we're doing what we're calling the Teen Pilot Jump Start.
Teen Pilot Jump Start, okay.
And what that is a week of aviation at our flight school with our flight instructors, and going through sort of an introductory course about all things related to getting your pilot's license.
Ah.
So we'll spend a day learning pilot lingo. You know, we have our the phonetic alphabet and the way you talk on the radio and interact with the control towers. We'll spend a day learning about navigational charts and how you know where you're going, when you're flying in the clouds and can't see the ground.
Very cool.
We'll spend time learning about airport operations and going around and touring different facilities at the airport. And the week of education culminates in your first lesson.
Okay.
In
okay.
an airplane
right,
towards
right,
pilot's
right,
license.
Right.
It's actually two lessons. We have a full motion flight simulator. So we get in the full motion flight simulator and you get a lesson in that and learn the fundamentals of aircraft control and what it's going to look like. And then on the last, toward the end of the week, we go out and get in the real airplane and have your first flight lesson.
Very cool. And it strikes me that not only then are you providing us as a community this demonstration, you call it being a role model for women especially and for young women, you're also that role model for those who say, if I had an idea like this and I wanted to create something of this caliber and this magnitude, you have demonstrated that that can be done. We said earlier, you have found Tallahassee's business climate
to be very very accommodating and even fostering. So with that in mind, you look at these young folks who are going to be a part of this Jumpstart Week. Is there that type of interaction where you can kind of go one-on-one with them and say, hey, what's in your plans? What's your dream?
There absolutely is. And we work hard with not just our teens, but all of our customers to find out what is your goal? How can we help you get to that goal? In the same way that in starting our business, so many people came to us and said, this is a great idea. We want to help you succeed.
I hear you.
We pass that forward to all of our customers, and especially the young folks, but really everyone pursuing their passion.
You know, you talk about being very determined, you know, when you make up your mind to do this.
Is that the nice way of saying stubborn?
No. stubborn is something else, I think. Determined is unrelenting in your vision. You're not being willing to compromise. It still burns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stubborn means... even in the face of helpful advice, I'm going to do it my way. See, that would be me. So, no, you're determined. And I think in that determination, there's a lesson to be learned there. When you and Lacey talk, you work together. Do you draw from one another that kind of, hey, we can do this?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much.
Because you're not always 100% on, are you?
No, we talk about how fortunate we are that we are the yin and the yang.
Mm.
You know, and there are days when I'm discouraged and Lacey says, no, no, we can do
this.
We can power through. We can hold true to our vision.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for any enterprise, whether it is a business partnership or a solo entrepreneurship. You have people who support you during your downtimes.
And just say...
And going back to Tallahassee, I think that a big part of the climate in Tallahassee is to provide the resources for the businesses when they're having those stuck moments.
Yeah, and you mentioned this class you took with the Jim Moran Institute. Other resources that you think of that have been really, really helpful for you?
Well, I would be remiss not to mention Domi Station, who has been a fabulous incubator, both for startups, which was obviously their sort of initial goal, but we were also fortunate enough to be accepted into the inaugural Power Up class, which is a year-long initiative that takes existing Tallahassee businesses and helps them to evaluate where they are, what their long-term goals are, and figure out the resources and the steps needed to get from your present state to your growth state.
Remarkable. In those kinds of exercises and endeavors and experiences, what have you come away with most?
The most wonderful moment of validation was when the Power Up team told us that it is absolutely essential to put your people first. And this is something that Lacey and I have always felt as entrepreneurs, but when the business realities of finances and struggles, and it's hard to look at some businesses who are large and successful and don't treat their people well. And wonder if you can build a successful business by focusing on your people instead of on your profit. And so to have local resources who are reinforcing and emphasizing that if you are a good person and you build the business focused on the people, your customers as one demographic of people and your employees as the other demographic of people.
The thing I've noticed about you, too, is that it seems like both of you are plugged in around town. You know, you have involvements in other things and all that Tallahassee has to offer. And I would imagine that there are those moments when you really just need to step away from the business, right? And enjoy some good jazz over here at the Tallahassee Museum or something.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's been the other part of Tallahassee's growth. Do you experience it that way? That because you've been here long enough now, the last 5-6 years, there was a time when
that just didn't happen. You know, if you really were looking for those kinds of activities.
That's absolutely true. I will be honest. I moved to Tallahassee almost 9 years ago. And for the first year, I was horribly depressed and sad that I couldn't find any of these resources or these cultural activities. And I have come to realize that in a sense, it was a marketing problem. You know, these cool aspects of Tallahassee have been here for a very long time.
Some of them have, true enough.
And they have just flourished in the last decade. And I was very fortunate to move to Tallahassee at a time during that expansive growth of culture and support and outreach.
All of that coming together over that period of time. Well, we're certainly glad that you made it part of your journey to hang in there. And we're glad to have you here this morning. We've got Faith Drury talking about Florida Aviation Center and her remarkable work with her partner there, Lacey Smith. We're going to stay one more time. We're going to have her stay with us over the break here. We got a little bit more to do. And folks, I'm thrilled. I'm glad that you're having a chance to hear firsthand from this remarkable individual. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we have a honest-to-goodness, bona fide living example of one of these kind of folks. Faith Drury, our guest here this morning, who moves to Tallahassee and gets very depressed because the culture is not supporting a lifestyle of the kind of person that we're wanting to attract and retain. Who I think, fairly enough, is somebody who is very, very innovative and creative and energetic and all of that sort of thing. We have found ourselves here in 2017, fortunately enough, to have created then, or as you said earlier, Faith, better celebrated a lot of the cultural, loosely speaking, aspects of what we offer here. I wonder if that, and of course that includes things like the Tallahassee Jazz and Blues Festival, or you know, Word of South, which has come online recently, and now the Shakespearean Festival, all these festivals that have really come alive. Mm-hmm. Well, my goodness, at one time, the only festival you ever heard about was Springtime Tallahassee.
Right.
Which is a great celebration of our past, has nothing to do with our future. So, you know, yeah, that is sort of depressing.
It was kind of funny. And, you know, I moved here from New York City and I would land on the flight, the last flight in on a Friday after a week of work. And I'd say to my husband, OK, let's go to dinner. And he'd say, it's 10 o'clock. There's nowhere to go. And so much has changed in the last decade. There's so many fabulous restaurants that have come into being.
Indeed, right.
And Cascades Park. I mean, when I first moved here, I mean, before Cascades Park was renovated, and it was just a...
How do you describe that for people who are not resident here, who know you but live in other parts of the country, and you try to describe Tallahassee to them in its current state?
I describe coming to Tallahassee as a transformative experience. You know, I previously lived in a different college town in a different state. And
where was that?
Penn State, Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah.
And Tallahassee is not just a college town. Yeah. Tallahassee is unique in that it cares so deeply for its residents. It does not cater exclusively to that transient marketplace, right, as so many other college towns do.
Yeah.
And one of the best examples that I always tell my friends from different parts of the country is about the adoration here of our canopy roads. And the fact that that kind of thing, caring and nurturing that beautiful experience of driving down a canopy road,
yeah,
is not something that other cities would bother to put in the effort to maintain and nurture.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it seems to me that our combined love of the natural world, and you mentioned canopy roads, the rivers, mm-hmm, that are probably among the very best in the world for canoeing and kayaking, right?
Yes. Wasissa,
the Wasissa and the Osceola and, you know, the Wakulla rivers, example, St. Mark's. Then comes all of the greenways that we've preserved, mm-hmm, the parks. The park system itself is remarkable.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and yet we find ourselves, I think, still struggling to figure out who we are. And so this recent effort to send another contingent of folks to Nashville, and there's been talk of us having to come up with a brand. You know, what is our brand? And I don't know if you're privy to all of that that's been talked about lately, but
only in, you know, what I've read online,
yeah,
and through the chamber. And I think it is very interesting that a city that is so wonderful would go to another city to try to find their own identity.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. And I hope that that trip was inspirational, but I also hope that we don't try to become a different city, because it's Tallahassee.
And my question is the locus, you know, of control or the means by which you'd make that answer clear for all of us, right? So some have suggested that that effort we are talking about in sending people off on this mission may have a kind of top-down endeavor or intention. That in fact, it, you know, they'll bring us back what they've discovered, and the rest of us are going to, I guess, be presented with here's the slogan, here's the brand, and that's within the confines maybe of a few organizations, whatever. My question is whether that answer would be better found among us in a bottom up. So why don't we ask people like Faith Drury and Lacey Smith and the thousands of Lacey Smiths and Faith Drurys who have lived and work and are doing all of that and have come here and made those discoveries of their own. I mean, they've lived through it, and find out what you think our brand is, see?
And I think that a big part of that brand is welcoming and is nurturing and supportive. And Tallahassee really works to support. We've talked a lot of, together about the support for entrepreneurs, but also the support for families, the support for business people, for workers. Tallahassee, in my mind, is a town of support. And I think that as we as a city find our voice, we will also attract like-minded people.
Mm.
It's something that Lacey and I talk a lot about, how to sell Tallahassee, because as we take our brand from a local brand to a national brand,
uh-huh,
and we work to attract professional pilot students from around the
to
country,
your business, uh-huh,
we ourselves are working to market Tallahassee.
I got you. So it's hand in hand.
It is.
Yeah. When you find people who don't know anything about Tallahassee, are they surprised? I mean, maybe they know, oh, don't you guys have a football team or you're the state capital or whatever. Are they surprised?
They are surprised. Yeah. We actually have a page on our website dedicated to things to do in Tallahassee. Hmm. What goes on in Tallahassee? If you're here for flight training, what are you going to do on your time off?
Yeah.
And people are pleasantly surprised to learn how much there is, how much we've got going
Remarkable.
On.
Remarkable. Folks, I love this lady. She's a great advocate for the kinds of things that I care about. So forgive me, okay? I mean, I'm being selfish here, I admit, but I really like the fact that you bring to us, living a real life example of what it means when you take an idea, you plant that thought, and in this case, it was a partnership that you and Lacey formed early on, and then begin to work that. Now, would you say 5-6 years that you've been really plowing the fields, and you're seeing some success? Tell us again about these camps that are coming up, the dates and such.
We have the Teen Pilot Jump Start week-long experiences. Two sessions we're running this summer. One is the week of June 19th, and the other is the week of July 10th.
Okay, so this month, June 19th, is the start, and then July 10th next month. Folks, if you've got a youngster somewhere in your life that needs to know about that, do them a favor. Have them get in touch with us or get in touch with Faith directly. You can find their company online, flaviationcenter.com is the website address. Great place to go anyway, just to learn about stuff, like very cool things to do in Tallahassee. And then reach out to them. I think you're going to find that this is a very cool way for your teen to spend a week during the summer months in this beloved Tally town that we love so much. Faith Drury, thank you for being our guest this morning.
Thank you much. Thank you so much for having me, Brian. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure for me. Folks, that's what I've got for you here at the moment. You stay with me. We've got more coming up in the second hour. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Broken heart, we're your one-stop shop for
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are. We're back in the second hour of this here fine radio show that you love so much. Thank you for joining us. It's me and King Cabba and a cast of many who make this show possible every week. Annette out there taking care of our booking, and Miriam, who comes faithfully to the task of granting us these inside looks at local business. We call it our business spotlight. That's all very cool. We're going to continue looking forward to those opportunities we have to learn more about what makes us different. And the kinds of things that we talk about here mostly have to do with the people who are under-celebrated in many cases. They're the people who don't necessarily make the headlines. Although we think by being here, and we've been told we are the number one listened to weekend radio talk show in Tallahassee. How about that? Who knew? Well, great. It just means there's a... There's more than just me and you. There's a lot of us who care about such things. And in caring about that, it's both, I think, inspiring and reflective and instructive. I think we learn a lot about what we can do to bring good to the world, what we can do for one another. What are the things that we care about, that we celebrate, the festivals, the social services that we're creating and have created or fostering? I mean, everything from, child ad litem to go foster. I mean, think about it. All of these different things that happen right here in our town. Big Ben Hospice, a lot of social services. Or healthcare providers, Dr. Mignon and her team over there, health and wellness centers. My goodness. It's astounding. So, done gushing about that. I wanted to bring to your attention a couple of stories
Here's one item from TCC that came across my desk. This is Tallahassee Community College announcing a unique new scholarship program for Gadsden County students. This is coming up this week. So they're about to unleash and announce and unveil this unique scholarship program for Gadsden County students, the TCC Gadsden Learn, L-E-A-R-N, scholarship program is a tuition assistance program sponsored by the TCC Foundation. And it's designed to help remove some of the financial barriers to post-secondary education for graduating Gadsden County high school seniors. The program is expected to improve the county's college-bound rate and help create a competitive workforce and launch students on the path to a promising future. The details of the program will be shared this coming Thursday, June 8th at 10 a.m. at the TCC Gadsden Center for those who might like to be in attendance. Good news there. And, of course, Gadsden County, I remember Curtis Richardson talking with me here a couple of years ago, I suppose, prior to his position as a city commissioner. He was in the race at the time. And, of course, he had represented Gadsden County within that district that was his to represent at the time that he was with the state legislature. And he says, Brian, he said, Curtis said to me, Brian, that's right, he's Curtis, I'm Brian. He said, Gadsden County is dying, flat out. And he said the death has been long and prolonged through several decades and over several generations of residents, really going back to the fact that this is a county that has never really found itself beyond the confines of its agrarian history, principally in the growth of tobacco. You have this impoverished population of folks who, when the tobacco growing industry as such collapsed back there in the late 50s and into the 60s, through a number of reasons, they were disenfranchised. And so these are people that had grown up as, picking tobacco and cotton and peas. And this is what they do. This is what they did. But there wasn't really another way for them to find an exit ramp out of that whole lifestyle and out of that level of productivity economically. So here you come, several decades later, arguably 70 years later, maybe, with things like this, a scholarship program that's designed to bring within reach or bring closer the idea of a college education for Gadsden County high school seniors. Well, it's a noble effort, and I salute the folks at TCC for doing so, but I want to ask you a question, folks. What is the real Tallahassee all about? And if Gadsden County and Leon County and Jefferson County and Wakulla County and, yes, even Thomas County are really the greater Tallahassee area, then we have to rethink how we embrace one another in a collective effort that is more than simply one educational institution or one political body trying to make change. In other words, maybe in shorthand terms, it's not their problem, it's our problem. It's about us finding our way, but not leaving anyone out of that mix or out of that conversation. It's with this idea that the work that Jack Rudlow's doing down there at Gulf Specimen Marine Lab is as vital to the real Tallahassee as, the work that Summit Group does up there at Bannerman Crossings, trying to develop those properties, or what's going on among the people involved with the Gain Street revitalization. And the efforts being made to bring awareness, not just economic development directly, but a sense of connectedness, a cohesive sense of reality, that we are really all of the same community. And then because we are all together in this effort, we really need one another, we can then begin to rely on one another for that ingenuity that can bring about the solutions that we need. I mean, when was the last time you spent an afternoon over there in Quincy at the Gadsden County Art Center over there? Yeah. Go over and talk to my friend Angie Berry over there about what's going on in Quincy. They have a couple of people who are principals over there, leaders, community leaders. Angie's one of them. Grace is the other one. She's the director there for the museum. And a couple of folks who have labored pretty strongly. When was the last time we spent a weekend over there spending money at one of the restaurants? Or when was the last time we thought about getting involved with a community like Havana or Monticello, Carverville, Thomasville? I mean, we have opportunities in front of us all the time. And if we confine ourselves to, you know, a few neighborhoods that happen to be convenient for us, I think we're missing out. I think we're missing the point. Folks, I tell you, there's so much richness, so much to be offered in our fair part of the world, this beautiful place we call Tallahassee. If we're not paying attention, it may just slip right past us. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. I'll be right here.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
So, my friend, we are happy in telling you today that we have some very remarkable guests here in our studio. And before you begin trying to imagine, don't even do that. Don't imagine what I'm about to tell you. Because these are folks who are clearly outside the norm in your thinking. I have no doubt. When I tell you that I'm talking with an athletic coach, I'm talking with a former player, I'm talking with someone who is the mom of a player. See, I'm not giving it away yet. I'm holding back. She's also a board member with this local organization. I'm fascinated with what these folks do because not only their oddity, I'll say, they're not the everyday, but because of the intensity. There's an amazing intensity behind this endeavor that I'm about to show you. And it happens that the organization is Capital City Rowing. Capital City Rowing. What the heck is that? Capital City Rowing was formed in 2008. And it was through a merger of Leon Crew and Tallahassee Area Crew. And through the years, they've continued to foster this rich rowing tradition that began 20 years ago at Leon High. And so it happens that we have this opportunity. We've got the coach here. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Let me introduce you to Brett Tillotson. Coach Tillotson has been doing this for most of his life, I think.
The better part of it. Yes, sir.
And you look remarkably fit. So that's good. which means that you don't have to just like sit on the side and tell these other people to go row. You can actually do this, can you not?
I try.
You do?
Okay. I try, yeah. Yes.
Keep yourself in shape. Mm-hmm. Well done, sir. And then we have this rather charming person, Alana Ruby Mooney. Tell us about you. Who are you?
Rather charming. I don't know about that.
Yes, but. You are already. I can tell. But I'll help you out. You participated in this sport for many, many years as a student.
Yes,
both I here did. In Tallahassee.
Yes,
and then on at University of
Massachusetts Amherst.
Right.
Yes. At
Amherst. Wow.
For about 8/9 years, I was introduced in the latter part of middle school, and I started at Capital City Rowing. Mm. My high school career began finally, and then I went on to row at Massachusetts. So,
wow.
It just carried right on. Just so it like carried rowing right on. Does.
And did that carry right on because?
Because of the sport.
The sport itself.
You just can't escape rowing if you begin. It sort of sucks you in, and you become. Entranced by it.
Like being a radio talk show host. I hear that. They keep trying to get me off the air. But you don't have the physique that I was expecting. You know,
yes.
The sort of Martian, big shoulders.
A lot of people tell me that, yes. So I was technically a lightweight rower, where they cut you off at a certain poundage, which is sort of a little bit weird in my opinion, but so for lightweight rowing in college it's 125.
I see.
So you can't exceed that amount, and then at a world level they cut you off at about 120, and they include the weight of your partner.
I see.
Yeah, so okay. You have to average a certain amount of weight. So with lightweight rowing it's a little more intense. So I rowed at University of Massachusetts, and they didn't have a lightweight program, so I was the smaller of the bunch.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a little...
Indeed.
A little intense.
A little intense, kind of. But for the love of the sport.
Yes, completely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For the love of the racing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. The competitive aspects of that?
Yes. Yeah. Not so much the training. The training is about 90% of the sport, I'd say. But the racing draws you in completely.
Yeah. Just the thrill of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You won a lot of races?
A lot, as in probably less than 50, I'd say.
Which says to me that, in truth, the love of the competition, not necessarily the win, is what kept you moving.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, winning is nice. We like winning.
Winning is sweet. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But it's the enterprise itself,
mm-hmm.
and that notion that you're coming up against someone else matched at your level.
It's the notion of pulling up next to crews that you look across at, and the competition is just naturally there.
Yeah.
So it just all begins with the start of that horn.
And you're ready to go, baby.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Coach is getting all excited over here. He's like, oh, man.
You're going back to the days.
Yeah, he's got tears in his eyes listening to you talk because this is just too good. You experience this, Coach, with others like this young lady who is so passionate about it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to see, particularly ones that have, chosen to continue all the hard work they do through high school for the next 4 years of their life.
Uh-huh.
And hear them come back and be, successful adults moving on in their life, but still
remarkable.
Giving back to the rowing community to CCR. Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what moves you? Is that how you got into coaching?
I got into coaching kind of by accident. I was I only rowed for a year in high school when I moved here from Kansas City at the end of my junior year. I competed for Leon Crew and had a lot of success. First time I ever had a lot of success at any sport in my life, so I really enjoyed it. 2 years later, when I was an undergrad at Florida State and flipping burgers at Pockets Pool Hall, I got a call from my sister, who was a senior on Leon Crew at the time, said our coaching staff just turned over. Coach asked if you wanted to come on out and help. So that was 1999. I was hired to show up 2 days a week, and Here I am in 2017 and still going at it.
And not flipping burgers anymore, apparently. Or at least not for pockets, maybe for the kids. There. Right, got that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, this is all very, very curious to me. Folks, we're going to continue, and I've also got this other young lady over here with us who you know quite well, having been one of our contributors for a number of years. Dr. Mignon, as it turns out, is with us from a parental point of view, as well as being one of the board members for this remarkable organization, Capital City Rowing. We're going to continue this conversation. You stay right where you are, because we've got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with this very remarkable group of folks about Capital City Rowing and the whole business of this sport. It is curious to me because it invites those, and you said this, Coach, that athletically you hadn't been really prominent in any one sport, and here comes rowing as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's true for you, Alana, that, there's softball, basketball, whatever, but here comes rowing, and that was the thing that really attracted you.
Yeah, see, that's the interesting thing with rowing is that they can take someone who doesn't know a thing about the sport, and they can grow them into an Olympian even, they all have to start somewhere. You have to learn the technique, and then your power grows, and then your times drop on the rowing machine, and you just have to start somewhere, and that's the remarkable thing about the sport.
And it is highly personalized that way, isn't it? It's very individual in terms of your, almost like weight training. Is that right? No?
Well,
it's both.
We do a little bit of both. I mean, we're an eights program. We compete in the large boats, and so we do kind of everything in the service of getting these eights up to speed.
I see.
We do some individualized training, but it's all in order to make the entire crew faster.
Oh, I see. And is there a season then to this, or do you compete year-round? How does that work?
Well, so there's kind of two seasons pretty analogous to cross-country and track. In fall, it's called head race season. And that's generally you're racing against the clock down a river. We compete at 3 to 4 head races throughout the fall in Jacksonville, Florida, Boston, Massachusetts, at the head of the Charles Regatta, which is the largest regatta in the world, head of the Schuylkill in Philadelphia, and then head of the Hooch in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So those races, we're racing against the clock. They're a little bit more informal. I mean, we do take them seriously. We train to do well at them, but the intent is to keep people involved and kind of building up their base of endurance.
Yeah.
Then we move into the winter, which is a lot more, on rowing machines, weight training, more general conditioning, but we do keep in touch with the water. And then in the spring is our sprint racing season. And, that begins with some races against other teams from, say, Jacksonville,
right.
Orlando,
right.
Tampa.
Right.
2 to 4 boats across. We have 4 to 5 of those races. And then we move into some more championship level.
My understanding, too, is that Capital City Rowing has done rather well for itself in competing at that level.
I think we've represented ourselves well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is a winning club here, folks. And I learned about this because of you, Dr. Mignon. You and your daughter and her proficient performance. If I'm not mistaken, she's number one in state.
Yes.
Tell us about her experience with this.
Oh, well, my daughter, Ezzie, is doing excellent. She loves rowing. We've joined Capital City Rowing about a year ago. It's an excellent team and organization. The sport of rowing is new to me as a parent, but she's taken to it very, very well. You know, training on the machines or the ergs is what we do, but also what the team does and what she does. And then, of course, doing the water work and working as a team. So as a parent, I've learned a lot of great things. You know, the love and the passion of the sport, the dedication that it takes. So I love the discipline and commitment that it takes for the student athletes. And it teaches them wonderful life skills. And then the camaraderie and the friendship and the people, the families and the people who actually participate in the sport
cool
is excellent. So it's become, especially for her, like another family.
Yeah.
It's a great sport for kids. It's I've noticed that it's the kind of sport that a lot of young people, if they never really fit into those big sports like you were asking about.
Contact sports, yeah, yep. Football, basketball, yep.
Football,
baseball,
soccer, yeah. All these things that are big around here. Sometimes that's not a good fit, or a lot of times for certain kids. And they might think, I'm not athletic. But then when they find rowing, they find that, oh, you know, I can be good at this, and there is a place for me.
Mm.
And, you know, you compete individually and, of course, as the team.
Right, right, right. And, Alana, that was the big attraction for you, was that it was individualized, and you were working your own personal achievement, and then came that competitive aspect. So it had both of those things going on. Right,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Like, when I can't tell my left foot from my right, and I can't kick a ball, I can't hit a ball, so, you know... Mm. Starting out in a sport which was so low impact on my body, you know, it was just nice to experience that.
And you're no longer competing, right?
Correct, yes.
But you are still participating, I would imagine, huh?
Well, with the rowing machine, which is an indoor machine that it simulates the rowing stroke, I still, you know, climb on that every once in a while to still, you know, keep in shape. Because, honestly, it's the best sort of exercise you can do for your body.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's low impact on your knees.
Okay.
You know, if you perform it right, it's low impact on your back. It's just biomechanically sound, if you will.
If you might tell me, your academic training then, you were at University UMass at Amherst, right?
Yes,
UMass. And what did you do academically?
I got my bachelor's in kinesiology, which is the study of muscle movement, biomechanics, and everything like that. So it's similar to exercise science, exercise physiology.
Interesting.
So
yeah.
I want to eventually pursue my master's in occupational therapy.
How very cool.
Mm-hmm. So rowing really influenced me. You know, it introduced me to the whole athletic community, you know, academically.
Now you know which muscle it is that
you've torn. Right,
exactly.
I got it. Yeah. So you can apply it to the whole rowing stroke, you know,
how
to best move the boat in the water, you
know. Remarkable. Mm-hmm. That is remarkable. Mignon, you were talking about how much this has really gotten your daughter plugged into the sport and helping her discover more about herself, the self-discipline aspect. What does it require of you as the mom, the parent here, who, because you're having to commit along with her to make sure she's at all these different events and such?
Oh, yes, yes. Well, I mean, as a parent, actually, the organization is run so well by other parents and volunteers and, of course, you know, the staff and the team that actually, as a parent, they make it as easy as possible for us. But, you know, I must say that these regattas, these competitions happen in other cities. So like Boston or the head of the Hooch, which is in Tennessee, you know, it requires a lot of travel if you want to be there. But at the same time, if for some reason I can't be there, I know that the race goes on with or without me. It's not about me.
Okay.
And so they have buses that take the children, so it's excellent.
Right.
And that's been, I want to say one more thing, really important, because this spring the team has been doing a great job winning their, you know, qualifying in states and then going to regionals, and now they're actually training for nationals, which is huge. This is the first time ever for the girls' eight. Is that right, Brett?
We've qualified a girls' varsity eight.
Yes, so that's massive, as well as the girls' four, which is, so that's coming up. So they're training very hard every day, and that's huge. And of course, as a parent, I will be there.
Yay.
Yeah. So it requires a lot of travel, but it's so fulfilling to see everyone so happy and successful too.
At the outset for you as a parent, the cost, just to be pragmatic about this.
For myself as a parent, you know, there is a monthly fee to make all these things happen. Mm. Of course, it's a large enough team that it's distributed over a lot of different people. I think that fee is around $200 to $250 a month, $250 a month, which I haven't done those other sports other than swimming, but I'm sure it's not, it's either on par or perhaps even less than others.
My understanding is that's considerably less. For one thing, you don't have the big outlay for equipment, because honestly, you know, I take it that the Capital City Rowing Club has all of the boats and such, right?
We do. I mean, it is an equipment intensive sport, and you know, we own 9 8-person shells and some smaller boats as well.
I see.
And the really high end boats do run $35,000 to $40,000, but we can keep them for 10 to 15 years.
I got you.
In pretty good shape. But you know, the $250 a month dues, I mean, they pay coaching salaries, they pay for the motor boats that we have to take the kids out on, they pay for trailering boats to races, they pay for the equipment, they pay for travel to about 15 regattas a year. I really do think there's a lot of bang for your buck.
Sounds like it. Folks, we're talking with Coach Brett Tillotson here, Dr. Mignon, and the lovely Alana Ruby Mooney, who will continue with us as we conclude this exciting discovery. In my mind, it's intriguing at the same time. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations, right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press Commercial Printers since 1983. For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services when you're ready to share your vision. Excite your audience and reach the hearts of your customers. Reach for Rapid Press. Online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, well, my goodness, you've missed out on some of the best parts of this here radio show, because we've been able to kind of dig in a little bit with these fine people talking about Capital City Rowing, the sport itself, what this means for us as parents who might have youngsters who'd like to get involved, and a wonderful coach, if I may say, a guy who's been in this thing for a number of years as a competitor, now coaching, would you say, since 99?
You know, I began my senior year of high school and had never sat in a boat. I knew rowing was a thing, but I grew up in Kansas. It's something that existed every 4 years on the Olympics.
I got you.
And then 8 months after I first sat in a boat, I was winning the state championship. And, you know, like Dr. Mignon said, there's several opportunities to move on. We have 6 kids that went on to, that just graduated, class of 2017, that are going to be rowing in college.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. And Alana, you're one of those folks who started when you were in, I guess, high school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then went on through college. Ever thinking about getting back into the coaching side of things, or
I was actually thinking about.
I have somebody else here in the room that's offered a prayer on that behalf, in that direction. Pay no attention to those people. They just go on.
It's hard to escape the rowing world. It's true. I was thinking about getting into the referee world, actually, because we're kind of low on
referees even here in Florida. Right. So they, at regattas especially, at the many beautiful venues around the country, including Boston and down here in Sarasota, Nathan Benderson, you know, there's just a loss for some referees around here that know the rowing world and know how the athletes like to behave and everything like that.
I would suspect that it is a bit unknown or, mm-hmm. or lesser known, right? It doesn't get the primetime TV coverage that other athletic endeavors might.
Right.
So it doesn't get maybe the big money. When we look at rowing, you can start at a place, as you did, Coach, with very little knowledge of at all or experience with at all, and then begin to grow with it. Mm-hmm. And so you're growing not only in your understanding and appreciation of the sport, but of yourself at the same time. When you talk around town, you know, you say, oh, I'm the coach for, what kind of feedback do you get?
I mean, I have to explain the sport to a lot of people, just kind of the nuts and bolts of it. Again, it's something that they've probably only seen on the Olympics or in that Red Bull commercial or whatever. But you know, I always try to talk it up and say, hey, it's an opportunity to come out, be outdoors, be in nature, work really hard, see some tangible results, and you know, by making yourself better, you're making your teammates better. And
what I find inviting about it is that it does take it out of that sort of Ivy League sort of feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like polo and such. I mean, you're really talking about something that is just as approachable, right?
Mm-hmm.
It isn't relegated to the aristocracy among us. but this is something that some kid anywhere in this town could participate in and be welcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, folks, if that's you, and, you know, if you happen to be a fat white guy like me, well, you know, there's still hope for us. We can... I don't know if we could fit in the boat. That'd probably be the biggest challenge, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Oh, we can fit anywhere.
We can work it out. Okay.
Like, I was a fat white guy when I came out.
Look at you now. State champion. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so we have hope for the Moose. In fact, I want to tell you again their website. It's capitalcityrowing.org. And I noticed here, too, that you have for middle school, high school, and adults.
Yes, Capital City Rowing doesn't actually offer any adult programs, but there's another club in town, Tallahassee Rowing Club, which does.
Awesome.
But yeah, we are active with middle school and high school, and anyone that would like to get started, we have camps at the
How
end of the
cool
summer.
Is that? So you're collaborative among you, then, as members of these various organizations. Well, mm-hmm. this is very cool. What's the future look like? Do you expect that the sport is becoming a lot more popular here?
It is. There's pretty rapid growth across America, particularly at the college level, and that's spreading down to the youth level. Right here in Florida, 5 hours away in Sarasota, we've public-private partnership has built Nathan Benderson Park, a $50 million venue, which is going to be hosting the 2017 World Rowing Championships and 2018 NCAAs. So. On a statewide level, it's growing leaps and bounds as it is on a national level, too. So I think, you know, Tallahassee's growth is going to mirror that.
You have an open invitation for folks who want to volunteer. I mean, you've got parents like Dr. Mignon who are in there helping you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyone who has any area of expertise that's willing to give some time, we can always find a good way to use it.
Yeah, it sounds like a plan. And you, Alana, you mentioned this too, the aspects of refereeing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now, is that a volunteered position if you were a referee? Or that's actually a paid thing? How does refereeing work?
Tell us. U.S. rowing refs would go to get certified by the national governing body. They'd go through some courses. They'd kind of shadow some currently licensed referees during races, get signed off, and then just kind of work their way up from doing smaller tasks to running whole regattas.
But you don't want her to do that. You want her to come be a coach with you.
That would be my preference of anyone that's gone on.
Just calling you out there, bro.
Hey, Alana was a great rower, a great teammate. She went on to college, got some awesome experience. We'd love her to share it with the current teammates. But if she wants to take that experience and make the referee corps better, that would also be a great service to our
sport.
That
sounds like a coach thing to say.
It trickles on down.
Come on.
You know.
Yeah. Alana,
referee to coach
you know
team.
What you're being told here, right? No pressure, of course.
Yeah. None at all.
Well, this is very cool, folks. Thank you for sharing your heart and your vision and your passion and your stories and who you are. You know, the thing about the things you're doing tells us a lot more about us, I think. It tells us why we do the things we do, even when, my God, it can be very demanding at times, can it not? Mm-hmm. But there's something about us then that says, I can do better here. I want to see how far I can go. I want to excel at what this means to me and then be a part of a team. Thank you for being part of our team today. Closing thoughts, anyone you want to share?
Huh? Yes. I'd like to share one more thought as a parent and a physician, more importantly about health and wellness. Anyone who is interested, you should certainly check out the website at capitalcityrowing.org, like you said.
Uh-huh.
On the website also, there is a camp that happens in the summertime for young people who think, I don't know if I can do that, or I don't know if that's the sport for me. It's
right.
Called the Long Skinny Boat Camp.
And any kid can come out
with
no experience, with a little bit of experience, without having heard about the sport.
I love this.
You know, it's a great, great
folks, it says right here, beginners learn terminology,
mm-hmm.
technique, and teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
Experienced coaching staff provide team building, land drills, on-the-water instruction. And all the beer you can... No, I'm sorry. No, that was not
all
there.
All the sun you can get.
All the good sun and healthy,
vitamin
good
D.
Things. Vitamin D and fruit juice and things like that.
Yes.
Right. Come on, Brian. Stop it. And a good bit of fun and excitement along the way. I love this. Long Skinny Boat Camp, folks. Go check it out. CapitalCityRowing.org. Our guest this morning, Alana, Coach Mignon, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
That's what we got for you this week, folks. Tallahassee Talks is the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to trucks. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, this is Joe Doty from Truck and Car Concepts. Want to thank Tallahassee for a wonderful and prosperous 2016. Thanks to our loyal customers and our new customers, 2016 was a very good year for Truck and Car Concepts. And look forward to 2017, serving the customers as we've always served you. Going into 17, we would also like to thank all of the military, the first responders, and our police force that gives us something that we take for granted, which is freedom, health, and safety. Without you men and women doing your job, we would not be able to enjoy the life that we lead. Let's make it a prosperous 2017. Look forward to seeing you at Truck and Car Concepts.
Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800 or online at truckandcarconcepts.com.